8th, 2018. I'm calling to order the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A copy of Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report and their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairman. Lastly, directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion or actions. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
Bradley.
Here.
Fred Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Renwald.
Here.
Jack.
Here.
Leahy.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
Manchur.
Here. And we do have an excused absence for Director Leahy and Director Teaser. With that, adoption of the agenda.
So move. Second.
We have the motion and a second. Roll call on the motion, please.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Heath.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
And
yes. Adoption of the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second on the consent agenda. Roll call on the motion, please.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Heath.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
And Schiffer.
Yes, I have the affidavit of proof of publication with me that will become a permanent part of this evening's meeting records. With that, moving right along to agenda item 8, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, Natural Resources Conservation Service report, Neil Jensen.
Evening.
Evening, Neil.
Just comment on one of our programs that I've talked a lot about, the Conservation Stewardship Program. We've got another sign up coming up March 2nd for producers to come in. This is one that operators can sign up for management type practices on land that he operates. And some of the ones practices that they've been interested in is cover crops and precision agriculture. Those couple have been real strong in the past for what they have signed up for. The next item got last year we were reorganized under a different undersecretary, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, Farm Service Agency, also the risk management agency, which covers crop insurance. And we were all put under that same undersecretary. Well, USDA came out with a new website called farmers.gov. It kind of realigns so you can go to this website and find out all the information under these three agencies. Gives you one stop shopping to find information about our programs, farm service agencies, and risk management agencies. So just kind of bringing that to your attention. Not on my report, but I'll just mention under our EQIP program, they did provide us the funding for the local funds, which would be for the Papio NRD participants. We received just a little over $390,000, which was about the same as last year. Which is what I expected, and I guess it's good that we received as much as last year and that it wasn't a decline, so that's good. And if you remember last year, we picked up close to another $200,000 beyond that, so hopefully that'll happen again this year, because we certainly have got the applications. I was a little concerned right before the deadline that we weren't going to have many applications, and ended up with about as many as we had the year before, you know, close to 100. So that's a good thing. Any questions?
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
All right, moving right along to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Tim Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I'll defer right now to Mr. Bradley because he wanted to head it up tonight. Although it was a very good conference, as we always attended, and we kind of put all sorts of events. But go ahead, Director Bradley.
Well, thank you. Just to update, I am the alternate to Director Teaser, and Director Teaser couldn't be there. And then with the storm, blizzard warnings, by the time I could free myself to get down to Lincoln, the governor was saying he didn't want people on the roads. So we had an alternate to the alternate, and that happened to be Director Fowler. I almost want to say Colonel Fowler, who was there and present and accounted for, but I did make it, and many directors did. It was a good conference, and there was, I have to say, there's a few that couldn't make it from outstate Nebraska. Usually there was more in attendance, but it was a good conference, and many of the legislative bills were discussed, and so it went very well, and no real dissension, no anything that was really an issue. So that's it.
Thank you, Director Bradley. Anything further, Director Palmer?
No, other than, just bad weather.
Agreed. Glad everybody made it down there and then back safely. Yes. Absolutely. All right, moving right along, 8C, National Association of Conservation District's annual meeting, Director Tim Fowler and Director Jim Thompson.
Let me go first?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
There's like over 1,000 people at the National Association of Conservation Districts in Nashville, a really big crowd, almost too big to get a good feel from all the attendees. In general, I felt, again, how proud I am of the Nebraska NRD system, because we can do things like projects on a local level and assess property tax for funding. A lot of these conservation districts, when I'm talking to them, well, we have to go to the county to get our money for that project. And if you can imagine if we had to go to a Sarpy or Douglas County and get in line for the funds to do projects. A lot of them don't get done, and don't get done effectively. So it's, again, a realization that the Nebraska's doing pretty darn good. The opening session, the president of NACD, Brent Van Dyke, highlighted a couple things. One was the Envirothon and how we need to help them, the youth, to be heard. Work together on educating those who don't know about the challenges with agriculture. 2020, we're hosting Envirothon here in Nebraska, which is going to be a great opportunity to showcase what the NRD system is for youth around the whole country. There's also inspiring talk from Tyson Durfee, National Rodeo Champion, and Shay Fisher, Australian singer-songwriter. And you think, okay, what the heck are they talking about? But they happen to be husband and wife, and one's a rodeo champion, one's a singer traveling around the world, and now they know they live in Nashville. And they had some challenges, and really the highlight of that was how they were able to focus on their careers and focus on, raising a family and so on with the challenges they have, which in the bigger picture of our own mission, over time we don't focus as much, but I think we need to focus and turn the dial to focus better on a lot of the issues. We've gotten better for those old timers on the board. The vendor expo was geared towards a technical field. If you're a farmer, and I'm not, how do you do the soil stuff, and how do you do the agri-drain, and how do you do the seepage control and all that? It was not quite, they didn't hand out any candy, darn it, but it was more technical from that standpoint. They didn't get much value out of the expo. Another speaker, Leonard Jordan, acting chief NRCS, which did he leave? No, there he is. Neil? Okay. Do you know him? He talked about solving with, problems of more partnerships than we can individually, which is common sense, too. Talked about consolidation change. Neil, is that what you referred to in the farmers.com? There's consolidation of NRCS?
That's part of it.
Okay.
We've merged.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, he did highlight that, and so things are happening. I thought of you, our Papio's partnership with Bellevue, Sarpy County, et cetera, and it's important to tell a story so they, meaning without the partnership, can't say no and educate the uninformed. We do that. We've been doing that, and I see in the manager's report there's a thank you letter from our Sarpy County about our partnership we have with them. So that kind of falls right in line with what he was talking about. There's another inspiring speaker, Chad Pagracki. Funny. Thought he'd clean up the Mississippi River. So he, you know, got a boat, got trash cans, and their paper, plastic bags. He said, well, I'm going to start here in my town of in Indiana, clean up the river. Got a barge donated and all that, and he's cleaning up Mississippi River. What? And of course, they had pictures of the things you can find in the river, and it was just phenomenal. He's got a book out. I didn't buy it, just a tremendous job to clean up, you know, the biggest river we have. And I know in the Missouri River, we've done the same thing. It's an outfit called Missouri River Relief. And I talked to them when I got back, and they're scheduled to come back in the Nebraska area in 2019. And I don't know if we partnered with them last year or not in any degree, or if anyone volunteered, but certainly a noble cause to clean up all the trash on the river. The breakout sessions, they quite honestly weren't real productive. For example, in how to get your message out, there's a group from, I think, Washington State talked about participation from diverse audiences. And they displayed the presenters dressed in costumes, like a bee for, you know, pollinators and things like that. I can't imagine our staff doing that. I wouldn't want you to. It's a little bit over the top. Another session talked about the issues in New Jersey where they built a golf course on an old landfill. I don't know if we could get away with that, but they seem to be tearing out golf courses here in the area, and Papillion and Fontenelle Park. And so anyway, I thought that was a novel idea to build a golf course on a old landfill. One of the highlights I enjoyed, Dr. Sam Clovis, senior White House advisor to USDA. If you may have heard that name recently, he was rejected for a position in the I believe it was a USDA, because he wasn't a scientist. And he admitted, I'm not a scientist, but this particular position required someone to be a scientist. So the news took off in it because, you know, Trump made a mistake nominating him or whatever the reason was. But in spite of that, he's still a senior White House advisor to USDA. Talked about working towards one USDA across the board with farmers, ranchers, foresters. How you do that, I don't know, because they got U.S. Forestry Service, you got all these other agencies. So he did say we need a stronger emphasis on education, highlighting the future farmers of America. And the farm bill that always generates discussion, we'll see diminishing of funds, no question about that, he said. So we need to balance the production, get the marginal production out. Assuming that you've got less funds to do to produce what you can, so let's get the marginal ones out and produce the higher rate, I guess, of production where the funds should go. on the question of locally led versus mandated conservation. He said, of course, voluntary is clearly what makes it happen. Must stay focused and have a plan. Which, tonight's session, we'll talk about the groundwater management plan. I thought that tied in nicely to having a plan for what we do in our particular NRD. But from a White House standpoint, in spite of everything else, clearly we need a plan for agriculture. He did say Fed should provide the dollars that are not available locally. Rah, rah, rah. I hope they do. I hope they can. But we kind of need to commit to service if we are to maintain high standards of higher standards of conservation. So those are some of the highlights, and I'll turn it over to Tim.
I can't wait for your dissertation. That was beautiful. No, it was really, none of you have been to Nashville before. It really is a really a neat, neat place. The Gaylord is a monstrosity in its own right. I decided to send a few pictures and say, hey, we were actually there. Yeah. A lot of you maybe do know or do not know. Last year I was appointed to the NACD Urban Community Grant Program. I run about five states for these grants. Kansas, Nebraska, North and South Dakota, and Montana. And here's a picture of a lot of our grant recipients who decided to come and talk about the different effect we have with the grant and what it did to their various communities. And it was really, it's just a really neat event to see happening. And we continue. We did have one winner from Nebraska, which was great. With that initiative, we are obviously in a urban as well as we have a lot of growers in our area in the Papio. So it kind of mixes both. And that is there is the actual big shift with NACD right now. It is primarily an ag and ranching type outfit, but urban is now getting bigger and bigger because as land is disappearing in America, as with growth taking off the producing roles, urban, we have to embrace both sides of the fence. So we're, as the president was speaking and the CEO, Jeremy, was speaking to the greater audience, urban kept coming up again about how people are growing things on rooftops now. We're talking to the kids, working with academia. We're teaching conservation practices very early in life and getting excited about embracing both what the farmer does and having them learn about what the other side does on both sides. And so when you talk to an old rancher saying, hey, you got to embrace urban, it's really kind of comical because they're like, yeah, 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 but it's slowly but surely happening. And so I'm really happy to be sitting on this. And when Orville Gigstad decided to get me in this, I was going, what have I got myself into? I'm really happy now. Really good people. Sat in a lot of meetings. Most of our stuff was dealing with soil health. The new administration, ag policy, and the farm bill. Those are always the big deals, the heavy lifters in the room. But they're realizing we're not communicating very well down to the state level. And that was another piece that came out of the big speech, especially out of the CEO. He mentioned the states are doing it right. We're the ones that are probably getting it wrong up here in D.C. We got to listen more and to take care of the states more. And so they hired a brand new communications director, and she is trying to figure out how we can communicate better and can and codify all the right language. So one, we're listening to the states, and it's both ways. It's just not top down back at all the different agencies. We all got to be on the same level. So one of the big first roles is coming out, and I don't know, I was talking to Neil about this. They're coming out with a new app. They're bringing in everybody who doesn't use an iPhone into the app world, and so there's going to be one that you can actually text on it for free. It's NRCS sponsored. It'll have newsletters, a lot of sharing and innovation in it. So stay tuned. That's going to happen. They've already got a bajillion database contacts, but you know your data is only good as until you kind of clean it up. So they're in that stage. Of course, e-resource is another a big area of that too. They're getting away from the print stuff they used to do because it's just costly, and frankly, people just look at it and it's gone. Want to have something that you can use all the time. Anyway, a few pictures here. That's our urban grant folks, and yes, I dressed the part for Nashville.
so don't laugh at me too hard. Let's see, another boardroom next. That big conference, lots of great people from every walk, even from the Samoan Islands. Next, inside the Gaylord, it's just amazing. If you've never been there, it's worth staying there at least once. It's just inside, it's just crazy. Next, I thought I sent you more. Oh, well, four. Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions for the director? Thank you, guys. Moving right along to 8D legislative report. Josh Blackwell. Good evening, Ron.
Good evening. Yes, and for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and directors. I'm Ron Sedlacek, and just left the legislature to get here on time. Had some late hearings in Revenue Committee today. What I'd like to do is just give you an update on what's happening in the state legislature since they convened on January 3rd. It's a 60-day session, just completed day 24, so we're just about halfway through. And there's a lot on the legislature's plate at this point. They have not yet completed public hearings. That's not scheduled to be completed until February 27th. And then on February 28th, they'll go into full-day legislative debate. That's the same day, as a matter of fact, that the state's Revenue Forecasting Board will meet, and we'll see what shortfall, if any, what is the result. Right now, we're looking at an anticipated about $173 million budget shortfall. And as a result, there needs to be adjustments, and I'll discuss a couple of those that pertain to the interest of this board. And also, there's been consideration of a number of revenue issues dealing with income taxes, sales taxes, and particularly property taxes. Property tax seems to be the theme this year. Looking for some type of overall plan for statewide relief, depending probably more on either new tax sources, expanding the tax base, or shifting more sales and income tax funds in the form of direct relief, either through property tax credit fund or through some sort of income tax credit mechanism, like a refundable income tax. That kind of gives you an idea of the lay of the land. It's really going to be more of a taxation and budget session than anything else. The adjournment is slated right now tentatively for April 18th. So on the second page of the report, you might take a look at some of the key dates. And already senators are beginning to consider priority bills that were carried over from the 2017 session. As you recall, this is the second session, so all the bills introduced in the first session, and I believe there were, there were around 400 carryover bills. Several of those are prioritized, so they're trying to process those pieces of legislation. And then there's also an additional 469 new bills plus resolutions and so forth that they're processing right now through hearings. And there will be several of those prioritized. And they have begun a little bit on the 2018 priority. So things are moving along, but not what I would call it a rapid pace. What I thought I would just gloss over with you, and not going to go through each and every bill, I think overall we've spent some good time from the interim to now, particularly General Manager John Winkler, visiting with a number of senators, explaining our issues of interest, some of the authority we have, particularly in the area of bonding authority, and continuing the education process as to what our issues are, what our concerns are, what our needs may be. And that'll continue throughout this session. So there's really no targeted bill that would affect directly this district and this district only. So we have a few issues here that deal with natural resources, of course, but then also governance and budget and administration and risk management issues and some taxation issues. And I'm just going to gloss over a few of these for you. Some of the issues, in fact, that we identified, once the hearing took place, we found out that senators had not really such broad intentions, and they wanted to narrow back or just have the piece for discussion. Now, Carol Blood introduced LB 693 dealing with drones and their usage, and obviously they're used by a number of political subdivisions, and I would suspect some NRDs. At times, and utilities and industries, particularly in transportation and so forth. The idea of this bill is to ensure more privacy, to prevent the harassment of farm animals, but at the same time trying to preserve the integrity of the usage of drones for legitimate purposes. There was some concern in regard to that, if you wanted to go to a remote place and there was some usage, for example, or you wanted to check out stream beds or whatever, would that be an invasion of privacy? However, there is a fairly generalized clause that gives an exemption. I believe they give an exemption to the district here, and that's if you're a governmental official employee and you're using that drone in the normal course of your official duties. So I think that would mitigate any potential risk in that regard. And that brings us to the next bill, 729, which deals with claims arising out of the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act for misrepresentation or deceit. There was concern by all the political subdivisions as to what this actually was meant. Senator Justin Wayne explained that it wasn't drafted overbroad. He wanted to confine it to Health and Human Services in particular cases. That was heard. Committee took no action. LB 758 addresses the Lincoln County Incorp program, so it's pretty well confined to that area. Recycling, scrap tire recycling grants, that would be extended. That was a bill, by the way, that was supported by NARD. The committee hasn't advanced that at this point. I thought you might be interested in 784. And this is where you would be contracting with someone who has a fine. It would be an absolute bar from contracting with such an entity if that fine had not been settled. Senator Burkhardt introduced LB 808. And what struck our interest was that the funding for the program, albeit it may be well-intended, would take money from the $100,000 transfer from the Water Sustainability Fund. And the idea, of course, is to preserve the integrity of the fund. LB 850, that's on page 5, is a bill that relates to bonding and would provide essentially more disclosure, particularly advertising such a bond. There was an amendment introduced by Senator Linehan, who's also the sponsor of the bill during hearing, which would require a disclosure of the estimated interest to be paid on that bond for voters to consider. LB 943 is a bill that was heard on January 31st. It was introduced by Senator Anna Wishart, and I believe it was meant more for the city of Lincoln, but it does have statewide implications. The committee didn't take action on that bill at this point. 997 has piqued the interest of a number of political subdivisions. Senator Maranti, who's chair of the government committee, introduced the legislation, and what it would do would be limit salaries and benefits for administrative employees. It would be limited to no more than 5% of its budget. The NARD, just to let you know, did testify in regard to the bill. It testified in an opposed position and explained some of the unique characteristics that natural resources districts face in that regard. No action on that legislation as well. I wanted to call your attention to LB 1011. That will be heard by the Transportation Committee this next Monday. And this deals with the safety of employees of both private as well as public entities. And so if you have a utility vehicle and a maintenance vehicle, say, that you're utilizing, there's traffic, it would provide a duty or an obligation for the driver at least to slow down, be prepared to stop, or exercise caution in changing lanes. It's more of a belt and suspenders type bill in the sense that you do have negligent driving, careless, reckless driving, and so forth. But this would provide just an additional duty. There's no fine attached right now to the legislation, but it would probably be something that would that could be a citation issued in conjunction with one of those other charges that I mentioned. Or it could be used in case of litigation on liability should one of your workers be injured on the job. We'll skip wildlife conservation plates at this point, but just to let you know that bill is there. LB 1095 has not yet been scheduled for hearing. It's before the Revenue Committee, and Lincoln Senator Hilgers introduced the bill. Thought you might be interested in that. It would provide that you, in a property tax notice, the political subdivision would be listed by its full name, but then also the office mailing address, telephone number, and email address for the governing board of each political subdivision. So that I guess the taxpayer has an ability or something readily available to contact you in regard to the tax notices. Let's move on then to the budget issues in regard to the Water Sustainability Fund. If you take a look, that's on page 9, kind of in the middle section. The Appropriations Committee issued a preliminary report and this February. And what they're dealing with are a number of, obviously the various budget bills, but then what we've been looking at are the transfers in and the transfers out. So when you look at transfers out, you look at the Water Sustainability Fund, what they're proposing is to reduce that transfer by almost $3.5 million. That was the same in previous years. And then in the outlying fiscal years, the funding would return to the nominal $11 million for two fiscal years thereafter. So this is essentially the same treatment over a two-year period or two fiscal year period. And then I'd like to call your attention to the bottom of page 9, Critical Infrastructure Fund. Now, this is in the area of transfers in. And as you can see, there's the program funds for levy improvements regarding Offutt Air Force Base in that area. And what they would do is they would have a transfer in. So it's kind of like a reverse endowment, essentially. But there would be a transfer in, and it's based on the interest that has been paid for that allocation for that project. And as explained by Director Fawcett, it is a situation that we're waiting for permitting and so forth, so the money was sitting on the table. The principal amount remains intact, so just wanted to let you know about that. And then finally, there's under key tax proposals, just want you to be aware of LB 829, Senator Erdman's bill that would provide a refundable income tax credit of up to half of the property tax paid to the school district. And it's got quite a fiscal note on it, and so that's a bill to watch. And then the governor and Senator Smith, who introduced the bill on behalf of the governor, has 947, which would provide for a phased-in refundable property tax credit coupled with an income tax decrease both on the individual and corporate side. So it has aspects of both. And then today, and that's why there was a late hearing, is LB 1084 by Senator Tom Breezy. And that would be about an $800 million shift in new revenues, repeal of a number of
tax exemptions and shifting sales and income. It would raise the income tax rate in certain cases, and the sales tax would be raised in order to shift that money for property tax relief. So, in the sense that this district does participate in the levy of property taxes, I thought you should be interested in those pieces of legislation. But with that, that kind of concludes the report at this point. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Director Jaffin,
I have a question.
Is there any legislation introduced to potentially tax groundwater usage?
Yes, and I can't think of the bill number right off the top of my head, but Senator Paul Shoemaker from Columbus
seems like something
has introduced that bill, and it would be essentially usage in, like an irrigation tax based on the gallons of water used. And he missed a few decimal points because I think it's quite a bit of money in a couple of days of irrigation.
I understand. It's an incredible amount of money.
Yeah. I don't make predictions, essentially, but in regard to that, I think the bill is probably more of a statement bill, and that is there's all these other proposals out there. You may get what you wish, and how are we going to fund these massive overhauls of the tax system? So, you know, here's an idea, but I don't think would generate too many votes.
So you've not seen much support for that?
I haven't seen any support for it.
I mean, should that be something that you should include in this, maybe?
I'd be happy to.
The way it's written, we've had to provide fiscal note. The way it's written, it would provide all of the funding toward the schools. No other entity would get the tax on the irrigation.
Does it make it any cheaper?
No. It reduces the 75% of value, mark of value, but then it has. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think it has
whatsoever. Yeah, and I talked with Senator Shoemaker as to in regard to the bill, and his point was, if you want real property tax relief, he says his rationale is that there's a premium paid on irrigated land versus dry land. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to have all this relief, then there needs to be a premium assessed on more productive land. That's his rationale.
Okay.
Director Thompson.
Yeah.
He may be the only one supporting.
Ron on LB 945, transfer funds from water sustainability.
Yeah.
Down Lincoln, I heard it was a done deal, which is too bad. You'd set up here the 4% in 2018 to 19, and I understood, and I don't, maybe that's the percentage, but they were just going to take the interest. Maybe that equals 4%, but I'm not sure.
Let me see here. That, where are we looking
at? Page 9.
No, I think it equals the unallocated. So they're taking basically the unallocated funds from the commission, and then.
Well, again, I thought the first grab was just the interest that has been earned on the fund.
Yeah, they'll always take that.
Which is $1.5 million or something. Then the $3.5 million. This is the first time I've seen that it's an amount that we held back from distribution. Maybe that's how they come up with that dollar amount.
Let me take a look here and see on their in their report if I can answer that question right away.
Which, today, as a matter of fact, I got an email from the chairman of our commission saying, hey, keep talking to your senators, saying don't take the money away. But on the other hand, I heard directly from the senator, and I can't remember the senator's name I met down there in Lincoln, but it's a done deal. It's kind of like, okay, why fight it?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take it away since we didn't allocate the 100% of the funds anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lesson learned on that.
The fiscal office did not give an explanation. I received an explanation by listening. But it's not in this paper, so.
Yeah, it could be any amount of why they come up with it. It doesn't matter. The point is, it'll be hopefully revert back to the $11 million.
Right. In fiscal year 1920 and fiscal year 2021, they're still on the chart, at least, indicates $11 million in each.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way we understand. We got a meeting in a couple of weeks.
It's still there.
So we'll hear more. And the rain garden fund, the $100,000 for Senator Brickhart. I mean, that's a feel good bill. That's not going to go anywhere, is it?
No, nothing's happened at this point.
All so. Right. Yeah, that's right. You can't predict. So I. Yeah. All right. That's all I
have. That's Rich Bradley.
Yes. Do you know anything about that LB 1068 election changes? Senator John Morantes, you know, because it's listed on here.
Yes. Okay, probably the standout feature of that particular bill is provide if you're underage, you're age 17, you're not eligible yet to register, that there's a special election, and by the time there's a special election, you will be 18 years old, and he would allow for the registration of someone under 18 to vote in that special election. That's one facet of the bill. And he also has some regulations dealing with the release of voter registration information in special elections by mail. I know that as well. The hearing is scheduled for, I think, Valentine's Day, if I recall, next Wednesday. So I'll probably find out a little bit more in regard to some of the intent of the bill. And there's also, which would affect the district, and it would affect, obviously, elections, but also the district itself, in that it would provide for mapping. If you take a look and see if it explains that here. For political subdivisions, including, I put natural resource districts, so it'd require a map be filed with the election commission when election districts change.
We're proactive. We've been doing that for years.
Okay. But it would have to be approved then by
the
governing board here. Yep. And then also subject to the public comment review.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions?
That's what I know now.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Now moving on to subcommittee reports. 9A, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee. Director, see, John Conley isn't here, so I think we're going to... He wasn't here on Tuesday, though. Do you want Director Thompson to run this?
I have to take care of it, please.
All right.
I'll take care of it.
Director Jim Thompson.
You sure you want to take care of that?
Yeah, I'll try.
All right, you take care of it.
Item 9A1. Construction bids for Zerinsky Basin. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Valley Corporation for construction of Zerinsky Basin 2 project for the amount $4,254,983.97, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as informed by the district legal counsel and the subcommittee so approved.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
I had one small question.
Yes, Director Jeff.
How long was this supposed to take? Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Fowler?
Yes.
Brunhold?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Please?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John
Conley?
Yes.
Enter?
Yes.
And 2, Union Dyke Trench Drain Repair Project. Recommendation to general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Niwauer. We now, whatever it is, Construction Incorporated, excuse me, $103,560 for the construction of Union Dyke Trench Drain Repair Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as formed by district legal counsel, subcommittee, so forth.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Brunhold.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye. John
Conley.
Yes.
Bellman.
Yes.
Yes.
Item 3, Operation Maintenance Outbuilding Project. Recommendation, general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Gingrich Structures, LLC, in the amount of $149,850 for construction of the Operation Maintenance Outbuilding Project without mid-span column, subject changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved by form by district legal counsel and subcommittee so approved.
We'll once again have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? And seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Staff.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weeks.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Hi.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brunwald.
Yes.
And
yes.
And four, research agreement with the University of Nebraska-Lincoln for Vados Jones Entry Study Nurse Springfield, Nebraska. Recommendation general manager be authorized to execute proposed research contract for a fixed amount of $20,999, subject to the changes named necessary by general manager approved by district legal counsel and the committee so approved.
We have much on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Richard Grunwald.
Paul, are you running gunshot on this?
Okay.
For the life of me, I cannot understand the value of doing nitrate studies below 10 feet. What crop goes down that deep and pulls nitrates?
No, the purpose of the study is to find out what nitrates still exist below the root zone down to the water table. And it can actually, based on their research, they can kind of pinpoint a travel time, kind of when it got there, and then it also gives you kind of an idea of how long it may take some of that residual nitrate to get down to the groundwater. So that nitrate's already on its way. We're just trying to figure out what's going on.
Right. But we've already proven there's not an issue there because it's always below 5 parts per million. And it's got 70 feet worth of dirt to dissipate over. So what?
No, the city of Springfield has had issues with nitrates in their well.
At what level?
They have had some mixing they've had to do at times to stay below 10.
That's appropriate, again.
And then they've got, they're looking at putting a future well in. So part of this is leading into using some of the data we already have, plus looking forward to a future potential wellhead protection plan that the community might do, Springfield might do, to assess their future risk of either continuing to be a water supplier or potentially hooking on with MUD.
Well, that's a situation they can deal with. I just don't see the value in this, especially in an environment where people are 175 or 178 million overrun. We can start saying no to some of these things, and this is an object I think we should say no to. I just don't see the value in it. Not against you, of course.
Any further questions from directors?
Hey, Paul, I had a question.
Yes, Director Kath.
When would this, if you did this, when would it be completed?
It'd be completed yet this year. We would have the lab results by closer to the end of the year. They think they could probably get out in the field April timeframe.
And potentially, what are you hoping to discover?
So if we can identify what levels of nitrates already exist in the soil and at what time frame they're working their way down to the groundwater table, it'll kind of be a what future risks does it hold to the community to that some of their wells may continue to increase in nitrates over the years. Therefore, they would be able to say, do we want to look at having to keep putting in new wells? Or should we someday in the future be looking to just tie on to a more larger water service system?
Do they have that option of doing that now?
They do. It's going to be expensive. The MUD is to the Facebook site on Highway 50. I think it's almost full 2 miles to get down to the city of Springfield and tie in. And, of course, they want to build a main that's sized appropriately to feed anything in between there and the city.
And they'll eventually want to loop it for redundancy.
There's no time frame of when that could possibly be up.
No, but the community is looking at if they had to build another well in the future and that they don't really have another place they can take another well that they don't know isn't contaminated. So Olson's done some of the studies on that, but that's kind of what they want to know. That's the risk they want to find out for themselves and then determine, make a better informed decision.
Okay. So what we're doing is we're going down to 70 feet, right? And we're assuming more nitrates are coming down, even though we're applying less nitrates every year. I don't get that.
We're not finding less nitrates.
No, we're applying, not finding. Sorry.
Oh.
Because ag has done a good job of being a better stewardship, especially in the last 10 years, of nitrogen because it's an expensive component. So the years of long ago when they literally painted the side of the hills black with manure, that's gone away for the most part. There's still common sense. Hey, it's expensive to do. They're not interested in polluting people or their family, let alone a community. So as a group, adopting a lot of the technologies that Director Thompson, didn't you say you heard some of these at the at the meeting that you just went to? We're talking about soils and soil health and different things like that.
So I'm going to throw in a quick comment here because I've talked to several constituents in Springfield that were concerned with this. And I've also talked with Paul quite substantially over the last week about mm-hmm. what's going on out there. And the trending of nitrogen in the medium and low wells is increasing dramatically over the last several years. So it's something to work.
What to what?
It's getting up. It's approaching 10 parts per billion. So it's getting
per billion
or per million. Thank you. So it's approaching a level.
But anything below 10.
Director.
Oh, excuse me. My mistake.
Thank you. So it's trending in the wrong direction. Obviously, farmers are being careful with what they're applying, but right. The trends are still going up, even as they're being more careful. So the issue is, when's that going to hit their water? And if it's going to hit their water, does it make more sense for them to get ahead of the curve and hook up to a municipal water supply instead? And in this case, the amount that's being spent, $21,000 isn't chump change, but in the grand scheme of things, what this is going to do for that community is potentially a lot greater than what we're putting into it. So this is something I fully support. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about farmers. I would say that it's accurate. Mm-hmm. But in this case, having talked to constituents, both homeowners and farmers, and knowing the data that we've seen now, it only makes sense to move forward with this.
I tell you what, let me see the raw data, and maybe we can have that discussion. Can you just table this?
You can make a motion if you'd like.
Table.
All right, we have a motion to table. Do we have a second on the motion to table?
I'll second it. For discussion.
No discussion on table.
No discussion.
All right. Roll call on motion to table.
Yes.
Bradley.
No.
Fred Conley.
No.
John Conley.
No.
Fowler.
No.
John Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
No.
Original motion?
Yes. Original motion. Still for discussion, Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say that what I'm hearing about Springfield, it makes me think of Flint, Michigan, and, you know, a lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and they didn't. And so when Springfield is asking for this to be done, the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, is, part of doing this study. I wholeheartedly agree, and I think we should.
Bradley, any further comments from directors? Now, Director Weiss.
This test that they're going to do, is this something they're going to do every year, or is it year to year, or what are they going to do with this?
No, it could be a one-time deal where they're going to sample the entire soil column down to the groundwater table, okay. And that should give us an indication of what's going to happen. And I think the benefit from what you guys have just discussed is that it's not going to pinpoint back to our current farming practices. It's going to say, this is already in there. It's a problem we potentially have to deal with over time, and it gives us an idea of how long that risk is going to be. Obviously, the community can't sustain 1 year over 10 parts per million, let alone, what if it did get better? They still can't sustain 20 years of nitrates over 10 parts per million, they'll have to change or do something different. So
what do you mean to say?
If they get to the point where they have over 10 parts per million, they'll be put on...
Right. They got to stay at 10. Is it 10 and less or at 10?
Or 10 has to be... Can you remind that Reese has a table?
Thank you, Director Thompson.
Any
further questions, Director Reese?
Well, I guess my biggest question is, you know, and I'm not against really the testing, but where I'm at with this is we're going to just test for a year, and what happens after that?
Yeah. So what the benefit of this test is that it's testing what has occurred over a long period of time. So it's not expected that I guess we could come back, and you probably wouldn't do it in a year. You could make them come back in 10 years and say, how much has that soil column changed? What we'd probably hope to find out is that with current practices, some of that nitrate has moved on down, which affects the groundwater now, but there's less sitting in there. There's less sitting in the storage above the groundwater that's going to get there in the future. So it could prove that things are getting better, but we really can't wait for them to get better just with what we're doing at the surface.
Okay.
I had asked the question before. What is it, 10 parts per million and less, or has to be less than 10?
Has to be less than 10.
So 9.95, whatever it is, right?
Right.
So currently when that happens, what do they do to mitigate?
They would be required to provide bottled water for pregnant women and infants. They would have to come up with a plan to treat their water.
Are there other cities in the state doing that?
There are other cities in the state that have to treat for nitrates.
Yeah.
That's very expensive. Reverse osmosis, I think, is about the only thing that
doesn't work for nitrates. No, they end up having
it
to
reduce nitrates.
It has to dilute water. On a city system, you have to dilute it, right?
If your only source is over 10 parts per million, you have to treat it.
Yeah. But if you have the ability, you for city water, you can use membranes and different things, but you still have to do some dilution factor, right? Say if you're 12, you have to dilute down to 9 somehow.
No, the treatment brings you down.
Right, the treatment brings you down by dilution of water with other water. Or is it all chemicals?
So I think this discussion is moving outside of the realm of the motion at hand. So please take it offline moving forward.
Yep.
Any further comments from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
All right.
Johnson.
Yes.
Howard.
Yes.
Brunwald.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Item 5, groundwater management plan. Item A, adoption of proposed groundwater management plan. This recommendation following resolution be adopted. Mr. Chairman, since it's on the board, I have permission to use the
absolutely
information on the board rather than reading it all. And again, this is for the plan itself. There's two other resolutions will be addressed, and the committee so approves.
All right, we have a motion on the table for agenda item 5A. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Yes, sir. And if you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Scott Olson at Canton, Nebraska. Always a pleasure coming down here. I always learn something new. My concern on this, I guess, is not so much the fertilizer. I would like to see this delayed for discovery. As Mark talked about, farmers using less nitrogen. I'm on the extension board for the state of Nebraska for the university down here, and we had a nice big meeting down here today, and we did discuss this a little bit down here today. You know, the university is working very hard to not to control, but to educate and to help with the monitors, the sensors, and different things, and try to educate and be more efficient with the fertilizer. You know, like you said before, they used to paint the hillsides black and try to really grow it up there. Well, we've kind of reached a plateau on what the fertilizer will do. So they're looking for new ways, different applications, maybe different times and different things to make it more efficient. Just kind of a very, very interesting thing on it. I guess I would like to see this delayed and for, like I said, for discovery. Everybody's got a lot to learn on this. I've got a lot to learn on it. I still don't know enough to make heads or tails of some of it. But I don't want to put burden on the farm entity in places where it need not be at this point in time. I would like to let the university do its work and do its testing, find out where it's coming from. We had a discussion amongst a bunch of us the other night. Springfield's got their deposit down there. They've got an old abandoned dump down there someplace. It could be coming from that. I don't know. It could be coming from the lakes around Omaha someplace. Decama's got one up there the same way. We don't know if it's the lakes, if the NRD lakes that they've been put up there, Summit Lake, Gulls Lake north of town, if that's depositing in there, if that's creating the problems, we don't know. So why burden the ag entity on it? I mean, they've got enough burdens the way it is right now. But shouldn't we discover what's going on and try to find out a little bit of where it's coming from before we penalize everybody and go that direction with it? You guys spoke about that. Would you like to learn about that tax, irrigation tax, real quick? If not, I'll move on. Okay. We need to educate not only the board but the public. I think there's a lot of things out there that we do not know. Some of this stuff will be voluntary, and it will be voluntary to date, but later on will be mandatory. We don't know what's all in the bill, what's all going to be mandatory. Have each one of you read and studied and know and understand the complete thing that you're putting through here? I don't know. It's just a question. The ag economy, it's not going to take too much more of this. You talk about the shortfalls of Nebraska for money, and it's all because of coming from and because of the ag entity. The money's just not there. The revenue, the taxes, it's just not there. Quick question for Paul, if I may. Can I do that? You talked about soil samples the other day, and you started off with 80 acres soil sample on 80 acres, and then somebody else brought up said it's supposed to be on 50 acres, correct? Okay, we farm 3,000 acres. We'll have 1,500 acres of corn one year and beans the next, but it's still a crop rotation. So does that mean that we have to, and we are not in, what I farm is not in the area that is marked on the map for the nitrates, or the phase one, is that correct?
Right.
Does the rest of the counties and the areas have to be tested for that, or just in phase one?
So the only requirement for soil testing is in phase two.
No, phase two.
Smaller phase two.
That's marked in red on the map. That's just phase two.
Did look up recommended area by UNL.
Okay.
Did talk about if you're doing a rotation of 400 feet, you have to plant to get soil samples before you plant.
Every other year, rotation. Some of it, if it was on irrigated, would be corn on corn, but dry land would more likely be irrigated or be rotated. Okay. Thank you for answering that question. If this is passed tonight, which I think you guys are going to do anyway, and whatever you guys do, that's it's up to the board. What you do. It is discovered that it is something else besides the fertilizers that we are applying to our land, will this be rescinded? Will this management plan be changed? It'll just be there forever.
It can be modified at any time by the board.
Okay.
They have that ability.
Okay.
And we're hoping it does get better. And if it does, then we've
absolutely,
got
yes. Thank you. We all hope it gets better. We're all for clean groundwater, and we're all for our kids and our younger generations coming up. Absolutely. We work very hard at that. I I added one other thing on here. Paula made a comment a little bit ago that they believe that this problem is not from current farming practices, correct? Is that what you stated? Or I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to see if I heard it right.
I guess we don't know that all areas are the same. But we are nothing in this plan places the fall tree, correct? But that's happened. So we just know it's there. We're trying to figure out. We know that what goes on the surface can be a contribution. Mm-hmm. Trying to address that.
Okay. And some of this, as this water moves, where it comes from, I explained to David a little bit of Mr. Plug earlier, the groundwater around Tecama, they put that dam in on Deck Gulls that are north of Tecama. I don't even know what year they put it in. But that groundwater moves down, it moves to the north and east from that dam. And because there's some ground there that used to be farmable that is now wetlands because of putting the dam in, the water's just coming through. Tecama area's got a high water table, such as Springfield, I believe, does too. So once again, I'm just asking to delay, to discover, maybe try to figure out what's going on. I think I've got all my stuff. All right, thank you for your time. If there's any questions or anything I can answer before I get out of here.
Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Hey, Scott, does nitrogen always move down?
I cannot answer that. I'm not a fertilizer expert. If it moves with the water, it'll either move down or it'll move sideways with the water. I know many years ago when they had all these gas, they had to redo all the underground fuel storage tanks. That went down to a certain level and moved with the water. So I don't know, Paul, can you answer that question? Does it go straight down or does it move? It'll move with the water.
Majority of it moves with the water, right?
Okay.
And because of that, it gets diluted because other water is introduced all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can't move on.
There has to be a bottom to the barrel someplace. So where this water's going, is it hitting something else and changing it? Is it hitting different ground, soil
deposits? Yeah, it runs into something and it's a pool, yeah. Then it's not. It's a brick wall, then it's
right.
Not.
Right.
But see, those are things we can't call. All I know is that I have a report saying in this district, the vast majority of the time we're at 5 parts per million and less.
Okay.
That really beckons to what you're saying. We need to delay because 5 parts per million or less is a non-issue. In fact, 10 parts per million or less is a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of stuff out there that shows 100 parts per million. It doesn't cause a lot of issues. They have a tough time proving it then, if at all. But to be safe, we've used 10. That's what the national standard's been for years.
Mm-hmm.
And along those lines, when we start looking at nitrogen...
Director Grunwald, do you have any further questions for Mr. Olson?
Excuse me, I've got the floor.
It's the public has a floor.
I have a question for you. Thank you.
Yes. If you're willing to answer, yes. Absolutely. Feel free to ask a question.
To the best of my ability.
Yes, sir. When we sit there as an industry and yourself, a 3,000-acre grower, how much less nitrogen are you using today or are you using the same amount of nitrogen and producing a greater and greater crop?
That we're using less nitrogen because of the hybrids, GMOs. So, and that is the goal, to use less to produce more. So, yeah, what we did 20 years ago to what we're doing now, yes, we are using less. Of course, also, it's a lot higher priced. So you better believe it, we are using less.
Now, what is one of the main differences between genetics 10 years ago, I'll give you a hint, root development, as compared to what we use today?
I cannot answer that.
The root archaeotype right now is, we used to have the showerhead design. That's what the genetic was 10 years ago. Now we're very much more in a fan design. Now, what that means to us folks is we've got the ability now to reach deeper and deeper into the profile, not only to absorb the nitrogen issue, but guess what, Paul? We're chasing the water. We're going to pull that nitrogen right on up. That's one of the ways nitrogen comes back to the surface. We really have a straw, if you will, a plant pulling things back up, plus there's regular capillary action that happens in the soil profile. So, Scott, thank you for your time. I have made a statement, and I appreciate the answers to the questions I posed. Appreciate your time again.
Appreciate it. Thank you, board, for letting me speak.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Any further comments from the public? Staff? Directors?
Thank you, Brad, Mr. Chairman. And just my two cents, again, refer to when I was on the Environmental Quality Council, 2005-2009, and one of the issues that came up one meeting, there was two young people from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and they testified and wanted the board, the EQC, and they were testifying on atrazine being applied to the environment and what it was doing to the fish in the streams. And so I had about the levels allowed, and I had maybe made a motion, but no one would second the motion. But what I was getting at, the people that was against this, lowering the levels allowed for atrazine, they said, well, farmers are moving away from atrazine. So my logic was, well, then you shouldn't have no problem lowering the atrazine. What I'm saying about tonight, what I'm hearing on some of the testimony, nitrogen, nitrates, it's a non-issue, less nitrogen than 20 years ago. Now you're able to pull up the nitrogen, so forth. Well, if that's the case, then you should have no problem with this groundwater management plan. That's my logic, the way I look at it. And so I will vote to approve the groundwater management plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to reiterate what I said Tuesday, and that the current plan is 24 years old. Yes, it takes a long time to get to 2018 to approve what we're considering tonight. I think it's definitely a great thing, as you heard General Manager Winkler said. It's subject to revision. We can do that at any time once issues are discovered. Let's get this thing going. Let's get it. We've already gotten approval by, it's required by state law to get the Director of Natural Resources approved it, and other folks have approved it down the line to present it tonight. So let's get it going and install a new plan. I remember when I first got on the board, a concept called no-till appeared to be new, and now it's common. So the groundwater management plan predated, it's 1994. Now it's 2018. We got to get something going. So I'm thankful for the work that staff did. I think that they did a great job, and let's roll with it.
Any further comments from directors? Director Weiss.
I'm kind of in favor of doing a little more discovery. After listening tonight, the plan's been since 1994, so I guess a few more months won't really hurt anything. Or if it's 6 months, whatever it is, I think we should work with the University of Nebraska if they're willing to help us through a problem with this. If there is a problem, let's go into some discovery and let's see what's there.
Yeah, John. But I mean, the beautiful thing about a groundwater management plan is it is discovery. I mean, it sets a plan in motion to discover what is going on with our groundwater. And the plan is not intended to put blame. The plan is intended to protect a resource. And I don't know how many times around the country and around the world that people have taken for granted water resources. We have very abundant resources here. We have oodles of groundwater, and we have oodles of streams and rivers. But that's not always going to be the case. So this is something that's proactive and it's flexible, but it's something that gets us to start discovering what the issue is. When you see well tests and you see increasing amounts of nitrogen in groundwater, that's a problem. It's like when your bank account starts dwindling and you look at your statement, you go, now where am I spending money? How do I stop bleeding? And I may be a gambler, or I shop a lot.
And so I know that I have to stop that activity, or I have to control that. I might not know the root cause of why I do what I do, and we might not know the root cause of why we're getting these increases in nitrates in our groundwater, but we have to start discovering what that is. And to do that, you have to start putting some controls in place to make that happen. Now, our producers do a great job. I just, you know, toured somebody's precision agricultural books. They know how much water they need on an acre of corn. They know how much nitrogen's there. They know how much fertilizer they need to order. And it's very expensive to do that. And Scott, you know that. But they are getting very good. They're cutting their irrigation. They're cutting their inputs. They're cutting their nitrogen and their fertilizer. But we're still seeing problems. And so to do that, we have to get on top of that. And hopefully in 5, 10, 15 years, when these new application procedures and these new irrigations start taking hold from a lot more than just who's doing it now, we start seeing those levels of drop, and then we can adjust that accordingly. I think we all have the same goal. We're not saying, farmers, you're horrible, you're polluting the environment. We're not saying that at all. We're saying, hey, you're doing a great job, but we've got to protect this resource. And I think the farm and Mr. Olson was perfect saying, yeah, we worry about the kids too. We worry about the next generation of farmer that will utilize that aquifer, not only for drinking water, but for irrigation. So start taking care of it now. And that's the whole goal of a groundwater management plan, not to punish someone. It's to make it better for not only us, but then when we have those future generations. That's the goal. It isn't an antagonistic type of process. It's trying to work cooperatively together to say, let's keep this resource as pristine as we can for future use, period.
That's Coach Fowler.
Sorry, Dave, I didn't want to – well, you know me, I'm not a bloviator, but I have my 2 cents in here. I agree with you 500%, General Manager Winkler. In any organization like the Papio or any other one that's running efficiently, you have to create a vision, and that's what this document does. It's a living, breathing entity. Create the vision, which everybody can come together, communicate, and do that. This is the baseline, folks, and we're going from there. I have full faith in the staff, working with the communities, working with the agencies, working everything in within the state to have a starting point to go forward together. That's all this is. We can change this at any dang moment. It's creating a vision. So I support it. Let's go forward. That's it.
Thank you, Tim. Any further comments from directors? Director Grunwald.
Yeah. Gentlemen, 5 parts per million. 5 parts per million is not an issue, and occasionally having a hot spot does not dictate changing and moving things to affect 750,000 people negatively, because you have an ag community that supports all of Omaha and Lincoln and other places. 5 parts per million. Vast majority of the time, we don't have a problem. Regulations are unneeded. They're not necessary at this point. The notion that things are getting worse has been told to you constantly by people in and outside of this community, particular spots to the side. Why in the world would you want to spend more money on regulation on an economy like ag right now and drive it further into the ground? If we need any other exhibit about removing regulations and its benefits, look at the stock market. Trump has removed out of the $1.3 million worth of regulations imposed by the Obama administration, he's moved removed a third of it, and my gosh, the stock market's up 25%. And there are different – occasionally you have a bump in the road. I'll still bet on it in the long term. But back to your point, Mr. Bradley, you sit there and say, hey, we had trizines. The problem's going away. We're not adding to it. Why do we want to add more? Taxes, because regulations are taxes. People are doing the job out there, folks. They're adopting technologies that you haven't even heard of in here. And they're going to have benefits. And all you're going to do is put more taxes on them so they can't adopt them quicker. Now, where's the brilliancy in that? It's negative.
I'd like to call the question.
I'm going have a quick comment first. And I am going to let Director Jab speak to this as well. But real quick, so generally I agree with you, more regulation, not a good thing. When you look at this phase one, it's not burdening agriculture at all.
Don't let it out.
And in discussing with staff over the last week and then month previous to that, specifically with the landowner that's in phase two, and talking to him about it and what his concerns are, he is comfortable with where this is at. Sure, he's not thrilled with it, but he understands the need to have it in place. And you say that passing this is going to create a burden on 750,000 people and the farmers, but the vast majority of this is in phase one, and it does not impose any type of burden at all, especially financially. And then even in phase two, there are cost shares with that, and the burdens there is the soil sampling, which I agree. More regulation is not always a good thing.
That's one question.
Director Grunwald, I have to take.
Yes, sir.
So in seeing that and hearing somebody that is directly impacted by it and him saying, yes, this is fine, I understand why it's being done, and hearing that from somebody who is the most severely impacted by what this plan offers, I'm comfortable with moving forward as it is. And that's my piece on this. Director Jack, you have
just comment. Real briefly, Greg. I represent Subdistrict 1, which is 2/3 of the landmass of the Papio Missouri River. So my area is primarily rural and small towns. This is a hot issue. I've received dozens and dozens of calls, I'm sure more than all of you combined. And I haven't had a single person in favor of this yet. Nobody has called me saying, I want this. And they all preface it by saying, you know, I want clean water just like everybody else. Yeah, everybody wants clean water. It's, you know, being against clean water would be like being against healthy babies. It's just not possible. But they don't like the way this is set up. And there were, I guess, a couple of things they had requested was the fact that, can you make it voluntary to cooperate in these phase two areas? In other words, we know who farms this area. So we can contact the FSA, whoever, and ask for some voluntary cooperation as opposed to sending out cease and desist orders if these guys don't do what they're supposed to do according to our rules and regulations. And the other thing was, the biggest thing was, give us a chance to look at it a little more in depth. It affects my subdistrict far more than everybody else. And the other thing was, why aren't we doing anything with 185 square miles in Omaha and Bellevue and so forth? There's no rules and regulations whatsoever for fertilizer applications in those cities, and there's a ton of fertilizer happening there. And we're not doing anything with that. That's all I've got.
Director Japp. Director Weiss, and then we're going to...
I agree with questions. Director Japp, because I've got the same calls, and I am along the Platte River, and I'm getting the same response from people. So nobody really wants it without some further testing, without having something. What they're saying to me is basically something that's being forced on them.
With that, roll call and motion, please.
Call the question?
Yeah. Call the question.
Director Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Kahn?
Aye.
John Kahn?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Ron Wall?
This is to the question?
To call the question.
No.
Yeah.
This is to call the question and what to vote on?
Sweet state,
yes. Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Yes. All right, we're back to the original motion. 5A. Roll call on the motion, please.
Please.
No.
Brad?
Yes.
Fred Kahn?
Aye.
John Kahn?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Grunwald?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Item 5B, adoption of proposed rules and regulations, recommendation that the following rule be adopted. And again, this is part of the regulations of the groundwater management plan as stated on the board, and the committee so approves.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? Oh, for 5B, would you like to speak to this item? So this is the rules and regs aspect. Thank you. Staff or directors? Richard Grunwald.
Paul, just a couple points of clarification. You sit here in the bottom part. Remove any fertilizer restrictions on the organic. To the next one, it says allow minimal levels of non-organic fertilizer, less than 40 pounds per acre total. So if I am using MAP, we talked about this two meetings ago, I can only put 40 pounds of MAP on?
You can put 40 pounds of nitrogen. So if MAP has 11% nitrogen, you can back that up and put on however many pounds of MAP that would allow.
That doesn't read this way, that way.
Yeah, it says 40 pounds of nitrogen.
It says 40 pounds per, no, it says non-organic fat less than 40 pounds per acre.
The rules say specifically to nitrogen. So I don't have the memo. Well, do I have the memo right for me? Let me look.
What I'm saying is that has to be clarified. It would be a good idea to clarify.
It'd be in
for
the rules.
Future.
The memo would not have to be that specific.
What I read wasn't clarified in that.
All right. So okay. I agree with you. The memo doesn't say 40 pounds per acre of nitrogen, but the rules do. So
what are the rules specifically say?
Rule specifically says applications of non-organic nitrogen fertilizer with less than 40 pounds per acre of nitrogen will be allowed in nine hot in this area before November 1st, and then it repeats that in
I think the language you really want to look at is 40 pounds of actual N. That's kind of the industry standard. If you utilize that, it will be clear. So what you were talking about before is they'll look at the MAP 1152. They'll figure out the 40 pounds. That's an industry standard on how we do that. You might want to consider that as clarification.
The only word you'd add is actual.
You want to say actual and. Because it has a dramatic effect. It's subject to misinterpretation.
The rules do clarify that it is just not.
Thanks, Paul. Any other questions for directors? Another question, Director Brimley?
We'll wait till the next.
All right. Seeing no further questions, roll call on the motion, please.
Bradley.
Yes.
Brickham.
Aye.
Dunham.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brunwell.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weed.
No. IMC adoption of proposed groundwater management areas and recommendation that the following resolution as presented on the board will be adopted to some subcommittee so approved.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item?
Thank you. Make it very short.
As much time as you need.
Like I said, I learned something new every time I come down here. The adoption of the groundwater management area, so that is just the two hot spots, correct? The one at Tecama and the one at Springfield.
Paul, you want to clarify for him? For Mr. Olson.
It formally designate or adopt the phase one for the entire district, phase one and level one, and it also then designates the smaller phase.
Okay. There will no soil sampling on phase two or phase one, only on two. Okay. Is there anything else in here that I have not seen that you know about that at the present time is voluntary and will be made mandatory later on? I don't know what all is in this report. I don't know.
So to address it, the only way that something could be changed from being encouraged or voluntary now. If a new area, let's say, increased in nitrates or increased in some other water quality concern, we would have to designate that area phase two. We'd have to change it from officially being phase one to change it to a phase two to increase the requirements.
But the board would have to do that, Mr. Olson. So you would have a public comment period, and I mean, you could come here and question that or go through the same process.
Okay. Is there anything in the report that leads to mandatory well testing on anything else or any flow meters or any anything else that going to cost the farm entity down the road. Anything yearly that's going to be tacked on.
There currently, so we haven't talked much about level one. There's nothing mandatory in that for most of the district. There is Elkhorn Valley. In 5 years, it does designate that flow meters. So what's being looked at over the next 5 years, the district will work on providing cost share incentives to get those flow meters. And it would only be at their sole cost.
And the reason for the flow meters down the road?
The reason they're called out just for the Platte Elkhorn Basin is because that's where we're going to be part of the entire basin. Where people are, the rest of the districts are accounting for water.
Okay.
We'll need to be part of that accounting.
But this will be just in the Flat Valley? Okay. All right. It's a common fear out there that the flow meters will lead to some type of an irrigation tax, like we talked of before, which would be very, very devastating to.
Oh, that's really. Yeah. And on that bill, the NARD, all the association districts took us to oppose that.
Okay.
So there's no interest from our district or any other district to go down that route. So.
Okay. This one that Schumacher had, he was going to put 1 cent on every 10 gallons of water on any well that would produce over 5,000 gallons a day. Most utilities are running 750 to 1,000 gallons a minute. We had it figured out. It would cost $1,080 to run a pivot for 1 day. And I had one gentleman have it figured out. It would cost him $215 an acre to irrigate his ground. And that would put four major irrigation companies in the state of Nebraska out of business, plus grouse irrigation and however many more.
Well, I think we can all agree that's not a good idea.
Senator has no support on this. Okay, Brother Randy, this would not run down, or this would not trickle down Main Street, it would run.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Thank you.
Any further comments from the public?
Just a quick question, Paul.
We'll get there in a second. Staff? Our director is Director Grunwald. Hey.
Paul, on your soil sampling. That one per 40 acres, what are we dealing with there? Is that a 36-inch probe?
It's recommended that you get soil samples down to 36 inches.
When? What time of the year?
I believe you would do that after the crops are harvested, before freeze-up, get that documentation, and then put it in the report.
So you at the end of the year, you pull one 36-inch soil sample for 40 acres?
There's the recommendation is I think you take it at 8, 18, and 36. So there's three depths.
Three depths, so 0 to 6 is usually the standard on top.
I'd have to look at the...
Okay. But it's still one soil sample for 40 acres, down to 24 inches in depth?
You could be more precise than that if you need to.
So what's the ratio of that for the 40 acres? So I've got a 1-inch probe. The number's ridiculous. You get sitting there with one probe, and you're going to have that represent, oh, I'll take your shot, 205,000, 250 million cubic inches of soil estimated by taking one probe? Because that's what your ratio is.
You're suggesting more burdensome burns?
I'm saying none at all, because it does no benefit whatsoever.
Thank you, Paul. Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul,
yeah.
And I know we've been over this before, and you've been a champion tonight. I'll tell you what, you're doing good. Mm-hmm. But on the issue of flow meters, and I just want to make sure that they're strategically placed, but some of this to have a baseline reading for the new Costco chicken plant or whatever it's going up Fremont. So we went over sort of the direction and flow, the water table, and, you know, have a baseline reading of nitrates and so forth. And in case they do spike, then we start, you know, sort of looking at where the source is, and then that was something that I've been getting calls from constituents and worried folks about. Don't say anything about that.
The flow meters would just measure whatever comes out of a well, so it really wouldn't track what's going on underground per se. Any of the water supply that is the water supply that's feeding the plant currently is just from Fremont City's utilities, so they would be tracking whatever that use of water is. We'll continue to do some of the investigative studies we've done to track water movement through the valley, but these flow meters won't tell us anything about that.
Okay, well, exclude the flow meters, but I know they were, there was certain testing designed we were voting on. And part of it was the USGS, if I remember correctly. And so
we'll continue to do the water quality monitoring. Yeah.
And one last question.
Thank you
for all your work, Paul.
Thank you.
It's been all, your whole staff. But one quick question. In phase two, the water quality thing on number 7, it says initial investigation by the district will be to determine if the contamination is point source or non-point source. So which is it for these two?
It says that the determination will be to make a determination.
Initial investigation by the district will be to determine if the contamination is point source or non-point source. You go to your rules and regs on phase two, the water quality 7, before you get to 7.31 and so forth.
Okay.
So I was wondering what the determination was. If it was.
Well, in these cases, I guess with the results that we're getting, I would say specifically for Springfield, we can show that part of it is from a non-point source, probably because of the distribution of the contaminant right. levels that we see. I came over less sure as to what the...
That's really impossible to determine it, really.
It's a smaller area, and we're really only taking annual testing at our monitoring well near their wells, so it is different.
All right, thanks again.
Yep.
Any further comments from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Chris Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brenwald.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Please.
No.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes.
Chairman, that concludes my report on the PPO.
Thank you, Mr. Director Thompson. Moving on to agenda item 10.
Nope, 9B.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry. Yep, 9B. Financial Expenditure and Legal Subcommittee, once again, Director Jim Thompson.
Oh, would you like me to talk about that again?
If you'd be so kind.
Okay. FEL Subcommittee minutes of the February 6th, 2018 FEL Committee accepted and incorporated these minutes on recommendation of the committee. By the way, do we need an executive session?
State and public subcommittee.
Yeah. Only if somebody needs to, but it's up to the board.
What's on the agenda? I just don't know if you...
Only if you need to. We're not requesting it.
Okay. All right, now before I proceed.
We'll get it on the table. I mean, all the details are on the board.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's
item... Item 1, land acquisition for Zerinsky Basin Number 2 and authorized Zerinsky Water Quality Basin Number 2 land rights account 02015584430 to exceed 110%. Recommendation, general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with David F. Lanahaw, trustee of the David F. Lanahaw Revocable Trust and Lanahaw Pacific Inc. for the purchase of 24.95 acres at a purchase price of $1,224,750. And a purchase agreement with Scrupa Investment Company for a purchase of 3.834 acres and a permanent easement of 4.0 acres at a purchase price of $392,603.38 for Zerinsky Water Quality Basin 2 project and authorized Zerinsky Basin Land Rights Account 02015584430 to exceed 110% of the budgeted amount, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form the district legal counsel in the subcommittee so approved.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Renwald.
No.
Gaff.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Brett
Conley.
Aye.
And
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 2, on over 100% Eastern Nebraska Water Resources Assessment Contributions Reimbursements, cost shares 0105195191495 recommendation count. I just read ENRA contribution cost shares be allowed to exceed 110% of the budget amount with a maximum not to exceed amount of $102,400 without further board approval. Subcommittee so approves.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Grunwald.
Real simple. You got to stop spending money. We got $175 million start here.
Any further comments from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Allen.
Yes.
Grunwald.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Brett
Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Thompson. Now moving on to Agenda Item 10, Treasurer's Report. Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Treasurer's Report consists of the two resolutions which are on the screen or should be on the screen, and Items 10A through 10J inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second. All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
General.
Yes, if I got my money. Yes.
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 That completes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda Item 11, legal update. Don't believe we have one this evening, so we'll move on to Agenda Item 12 with the Chairperson's report. So coming up next March on the 17th through the 21st, there's the NRD's annual Washington, D.C. Meeting. If any directors are interested in going, please let me know after the board meeting this evening. Up next, 13, General Manager's report. General Manager John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached for your views, the General Manager's report. The information education highlights are attached for January. Personnel miscellaneous items, we did receive a nice note from Jeff Thompson, the Papillion City Engineer, thanking us for all the projects we've completed with the City of Papillion. He especially thanked Marlon, Martin, Amanda, Lori, Paul, and Eric for all the great work that they do. We obviously echo those statements and comments. He also commended the board of directors and staff for helping and partnering with the City of Papillion. Darlene Hensley, our program assistant Blair, recently received the LICA NRD Outstanding Leadership Award. So congratulations to Darlene. There's a picture of Darlene holding her award at the presentation. Also for your review is the report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal property, as well as the current and ongoing project with the District Legal Counsel. The Watershed Partnership Report meeting is scheduled for February 22nd, 2018. Just on a personal note, I'd like to thank the directors for attending the legislative conference and communicating with senators that were in attendance. That goes a long way when they hear from, obviously, the elected folks. Also, for your time, Director Japp mentioned all the calls that he received, and I know you received tons of feedback and tons of calls, and all of it's not all positive at times. But please let your constituents know, most of you do a very good job if there's a question to forward that so we can help answer. But please let them know that we will meet them anywhere and try to explain the rationale or the approach. They don't have to come to the here in Omaha. We will go wherever is convenient for them to meet. So please pass that along. If there's ever any questions, misinformation, anything that's out there that needs clarification, we would be more than happy to do it, because I'd rather go meet them and talk to them. If you're having a coffee at their kitchen table saying, hey, this is what we're doing, why we're doing it. We may not agree, but at least everybody's communicating and we're talking together. So I would encourage anyone that would like to take advantage of that, we'll do it anytime. And so please encourage your constituents to do that. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. John. Informational items. The next meeting is here on March 8th. And I just want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. If you still haven't found gifts, Director Teaser got his wife a vacuum cleaner last year. He's closing on 50 years of marriage, so I'd highly recommend it. With that, we are adjourned.